They preached God's word while I wasn't here. And I just want to thank you, Ted, and definitely Seth, if you're watching. Wonderful job with God's word. And we're back. So Tom said nobody to leave at 11:55 for the big picnic, and it runs till 3, so I'll get you out of here by 11:50. Not a problem. Don't worry. We're in the book of Titus. If you're visiting today, you can start to turn there or hold on a minute, because I just want to share a little bit of my heart over the last few weeks with things that have at least gone on in our life personally, some things that have gone on within the church structure, and for a resolve to those things, because I know if I'm having these situations and circumstances going on in my life, so is everyone that's sitting here in one shape or another. We all are going through some testings, some trials, some very serious times, and these are not to be just sloughed off. And the big heartfelt question is, where's the hope? How do I get out of wherever I am right now? Is it ever going to end, however you might lift those cries of your heart up to the Lord? And I want to just hope that I can bring some relief there, and definitely a great amount of hope through God's grace, that we have got more in front of us than what we've had behind us and what we're going through today. But the only way, and I'll use that word only, which seems very constrained, the only hope that we have for what's going on around us in this world that is spinning out of control, and some of us of an older generation are seeing exactly what's happening. It's never going to come back the way it was. I mean, and that's not negativity. There is no hope except for Jesus Christ. Now, is anything too hard for him? The answer is no. Whatever you're going through this morning, I pray you hear through God's word that hope is in Jesus Christ. He has a plan for each and every one of us. The plans that he has for us are plans of good, not of evil, with an expected end. He knows exactly how this is going to go down, step by step, for each one of us. This week, I almost felt at one point, after my weariness and my just questioning what is going on, I almost felt, and I think it's not like God said this or I saw it. I felt God just smiling, saying, Doug, do you think that's all I have for you after all this time? And yes, he understands my weariness and your weariness, but he doesn't let that stop things. He keeps moving in his great plan for each and every one of us, which eventually is going to be heaven. And if you do plan on going there, I plan that Jesus Christ is going to hold your hand personally as we each go on that journey. So, weariness. When I said don't turn to Titus yet, I was going to go to Philemon as of today, which is a great book that we'll probably get into next week. But I just felt the Lord saying, no, with what you've gone through, and Pat, and probably every one of you in one sense or another, my people need to hear my word. And I wanted to start off with weariness. Weariness. Is that right for a Christian to be weary? Aren't we supposed to be overcomers? Aren't we supposed to be more than overcomers? Well, we are. But in the flesh, as compared to the spirit, we get weary, don't we? Everyone gets weary. Young kids get weary. Old people get very weary. Most of us have experienced that, and I don't know about you, but sometimes there are very negative results in weariness. So I'd ask you to turn to Daniel 7:25, if you would. Daniel 7:25, weary. What's the definition? A simple definition of weariness or being weary is to be overcome by constant pressure. Overcome by constant pressure. I don't know what yours is. You know, it could be financial, it could be medical, it could be family, it could be what you see on the TV every single day of what's coming. Maybe more masks, maybe more vaccinations, maybe more taxes, maybe less cops. I mean, there's something that goes on constantly that just breaks us down. And we start to wonder why. You know, I did it more. I've been following the Lord for 40, how many years now? 43, 4. Why am I allowing myself to get weary? And I felt that that was the key this week to my kind of stepping above that, rising above the storm a little bit, is I was letting it. We allowed it to come into our lives, forgetting the promises that our Lord has made to us over and over and over. And I've allowed the enemy of my soul, and I'm sure in your circumstance, or all of us corporately as a church, we allow Satan to rob us of every good thing that we know and stand firm on. Grandma used to talk about counting our many blessings. Remember how Nanny would say that? And I'm sure most of you have heard that. Why is it that one bad thing, one thing that we hear on the talking heads in the media comes in and it's like the bottom drops out? Not for all of us, but for most of us who are willing to admit it. There are days that we just wonder, what am I doing? Why is this happening? How do I get out of this? And the first part is to realize what Daniel 7, verse 25, speaks to us. And it talks about the enemy of our soul, Satan. Some of us might not believe that Satan exists. I doubt that very much for some of you now, knowing what you've gone through, because it sure can't be God. And it just seems to be happening. And our Father God and the Lord Jesus spoke more of Satan in his word than almost anything else, except for eternal life and salvation and his love for us. He's real. He's your enemy. He's your adversary. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And the only way that he's not going to devour us is that we make sure that we are spiritually as fit as we possibly can be. And physically, I don't think it really plays into the realm. But we've also got to get beyond the point where I'm old and I can't stand this anymore. I'm too young and it doesn't, it's not in my wheelhouse yet. Physically and spiritually, we need to be able to stand against the enemy of our soul so that this weariness will not break us down. Because I felt good this morning when I heard a commentator say that the good news is it's only going to get worse. Remember when I used to say that and I got addressed by people, don't say that, Pastor. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. So Daniel 7, 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Who's he? We're talking about Satan. We're talking about the enemy. We're talking about more than just a spiritual force that works against us or socioeconomic conditions that crush us. We're talking about a personality that has your demise in his eyes. What he wants us to do is, and he doesn't care how he does it, he wants us to deny the promises that God has made, yea and amen, so that he might be able to go before the throne and say, that's your child. Your child doesn't even believe you. Your child isn't standing on you right now. So he will speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and why isn't that happening right now? And they'll be given into his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of times. 3.5 years, we can go into the whole tribulation, great tribulation, rapture theories, but I don't want to go there. I want to focus on, here's God opening up to me this week. Doug, Satan's job is to wear you down. And it's not just me, it's you. It's you. Whatever and however that might play into your personal life, Satan's job on a daily basis, and let's none of us think that we're so important that Satan himself would come into my wheelhouse and try to rob me of sin. No, he's got minions. He's got fallen angels. He's got demonic beings that go and do his bidding. And his bidding is go wear Tom down. Go wear Alice down. Get into Nate's life, and we know what's going to... Just knock him right off the podium. That's his job. Have we forgotten that on a daily basis when these things come into our life that test us and try us? That not everything is a satanic attack, but most of it can be utilized by him by the way that we respond. So I looked at that, and I thought, well, Lord... It's his job to do it, and he's done a great job. What are you saying? And my diatribes that I go through, and Pat will tell you, some days I yell from my chair and get up and stomp around, and other days I'm praising God, and she'll, what's going on in there, you know? It's God just showing me something. And what he showed me was something that was a wake-up, and I'd have you turn to Jeremiah 12. And it kind of goes along with the Lord saying, hang on, the good news is it's only going to get worse. But in Jeremiah 12, if you're there, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore, and this is verse 1, does the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously? Is that something that bothers you? Do you ever notice that? Why is that going on? Why is what's happening in our world right now and what is going to come as a result? Why do these unrighteous, why do the wicked prosper, Lord? And it seems like we're just getting worn down, overcome by consistent pressure. You have planted them, verse 2. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. And I pray that each one of us, maybe if we haven't, we'd sit before the Lord because he does see us. He does know us. He has tried and tested us, but those testings are not over. They're going to continue. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? And, you know, this was a time with Jeremiah and the attacks and the wars that were going on. But our farmlands are going down. Our food prices are going up. These things that Jeremiah was worried about and so overwhelmed by are happening to each one of us in our little areas, states, wherever we might come from. The herbs of the field are withering for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. Jeremiah's cries, my cries, your cries, I would think, when we're wondering, why is this going on, Lord? How am I going to make it? How am I going to stand through this? How can I endure what I have this week in my life and what's still yet to come? God's answer, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they wearied you. Then how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? If you run with the foot, and what God is saying, it's all, you're not standing right now. You're breaking down, Doug. We'll put your name in there for the situation that just came into your life, for what you see as its end. You've just gone with the footmen. What happens when the real stuff starts to come? What happens when this meant things in those days, when we were the Philistines and all the different ites that you can put in there? They had footmen first that went out there to break into the armies, and then they had horsemen, and they were known for horses and chariots. That's when the real trouble came. And I think God is saying to us in our weariness, you've only walked with the footmen right now. How are you going to contend with horses? How are you going to attend when the temperature gets turned up? When the events that you think now are ready to crush you, what happens when they get worse? And the answer is, we're not going to be hopeless. We're not going to be helpless. We have the grace of God that He shed upon us. And He wants to shed it even more abundantly in these days to come. But see, that's up to you and I. Will I let Him shed His grace on me? Will I understand that His grace is sufficient for me? That in my weakness, in my weariness, in my breaking down, that He is sufficient enough for me? His strength can be seen. So this part of it, He's done His job in a sense. He's still doing it, and He'll continue to do it until we go home with Him. But this part now is up to you and I. How are we going to stand in the day of the horses? We're going to stand with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His love for us. So let's turn to Titus. We'll see after how many months, Tommy? That's just a few. We'll see after almost a year if we can get out of Titus. But there's no hurry. No hurry. Father God, open our ears today to Your voice. Open our hearts, Lord, to Your word, that we might grab some of the promises that we hear, Lord, personally as our very own. Corporately here as a church, that we might walk out these doors, being the force, being the light that You've asked us to be here. And within our own personal lives, Father, that no matter what the circumstance might be that's going on right now, Lord, that Your love, Your might, Your power might be seen through each and every one of us in the way that we handle in front of those who are seeking hope and peace, Lord, that they might see there truly is a God who cares and loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Titus, we've been looking at it, and I'd encourage you, if you haven't, it's three short chapters. Read them over again. In this little book right here is Doctrine 101. I mean, there are many, many doctrines, and I don't know who I'm speaking to fully. Some of us in here belong to different churches. Maybe our faiths are a little bit different. Doctrines definitely then go along with that. But in this is what God had written for His churches, for His people, for the way He wants us to act and react. So in here, again, like I said, is just a compiling of Doctrine 101 and the safeguards against our enemy. The only way that this will be a safeguard against our enemy is if you and I put it into our lives and apply it personally, corporately within the church, but personally on a daily basis, not just when the occasion arises, but we apply this word to our lives. We make sure that this is the highest level that we're going to look as the day assails us. What did God say about that? What has God gotten here? And really, if I just do what He's saying, will things work out the way they should? I'm going to jump. Put your neighbor's knee. I haven't said that in a while. Put your neighbor's knee there in Titus and turn to James chapter 1. We all know this one by heart, but it's the application in the holding dear to it. James 1. Verse 22. I can read this. I can hear it. You can sit and listen to me. Walk out of here and just worry about the barbecue ribs you're going to have over at the picnic or the baked beans or what we bring. Fried chicken today. God is saying, I want you to hear what I'm saying today, Doug. And I know He's speaking that to someone's heart. Don't just hear this word. And I think He took the time to put that in there. 22 says, but be ye doers of the word. Doers. Application. My life, the way that God tells me to go and walk it. He's saying, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's woman also in that. So it's God's word that's going to break the weariness. It's God's word that's going to break the fear of what happens when the time really gets bad. God is going to be there. He doesn't move. He doesn't leave us. He's made a promise that you will depend on me because I'm dependable. My word, I mean, his word has lasted the ages. And he says not one jot or tittle of this is going to pass until he fulfills all of it. And that's bringing us home safely, unscathed. Some of us might go in, as the word says, like we're on fire, but he's bringing us home. He's going to get us to that point. Simply put, how do I break the weariness? How do I break the fear of the horses that might be coming, whatever the circumstances in your life or mine? And that's to apply God's word. Just do it. Nike's made billions on it, on just that little word. Can I see my Lord bringing me up out of the pit that I feel that I'm in every now and then? If he can do that, just do it. And when you have time this week, look into John 2, verse 5. That was the wedding feast at Cana. Do you remember Mary? People came up and said, hey, we're out of wine. What can we do? Jesus said to his mother, hey, everybody's saying there's nothing to drink here. What have I got to do with that? He's already provided, is what he was basically saying. So Mary turns around and she told, do whatever he tells you to do. What a statement. How do I overcome? How do I put this into an application? Whatever Jesus is telling you, do it. Just do it. Well, that's foolish. What if he tells me to, and then you fill in the blanks? Foolish in my mind, maybe. But how will I ever see his hand at work unless I do whatsoever he tells me to do? Lord, I'll do it this way. No, not right now. That's inconvenient. No, I don't want to. Whatsoever he and she meant, go do it now. And even to the absurdity of, I've heard that some of those wine crocks, water jugs, they weren't just a little pourer. There were 72 gallons, one of them. I mean, they were just huge. Said, fill it to the brim. Fill it to the brim. What is that going to do? Can't we just do a little bit? See, the analogy for me, for us, I hope, God tells us what to do, but then we kind of customize it a little bit. No, not 72 gallons worth. Let's you fill it to the brim till it's overflowing. God wants no doubt that he's the one that's done it in every one of our lives. So right now, weariness, yes, it's going to come. That's a human trait, but do I have to stay in it? Do I have to allow it to control me, drive me, take my hope and my joy? The answer to that is no. And what did he do? Look what he did at that. Gave him some of the best stuff they've ever had. So don't go out and buy any water and put it in a jug and hope to turn it to wine tonight. He's talking more on a spiritual understanding for each one of us, that what you're going through now is Satan trying to break you down. He's trying to weary you, trying to maybe just get our eyes a little bit off of him. And that's where that walk around, I was singing, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. That's like that wine that in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So put yourself back to Titus. Put yourself, if you would, as you read Titus this week. I'd ask us that each one, we need to put ourselves in the appropriate passages here. Chapter 1, if you remember, was as a church. God said everything he wanted with leadership and how it should run, basically. It's not everything, but there's that doctrine 101. As a church, put yourself in chapter 1. As an adult male, he approached us in chapter 2, how adult men within the body of Christ, within their Christianity, should act. He also put in their adult women, how they should behave and act. Then he went on to young men and young women in there. So our directions of what, why is this going on? How, what does God want from me? They're all right in there. And these are our weapons, our spiritual weapons against the enemy's attack of weariness, of what's still yet to come. See, God doesn't, he doesn't bring them, he wants to strengthen us in what we're going through, not weaken us. And the enemy's, his whole goal is to weaken us. God wants to take us from what we're feeling is shaking underneath us right now, not that we would crumble, but that we would jump up to the next platform and just say, safety, I'm on the rock. And then he just keeps going and going because he knows it's not going to end as of tomorrow. So these are our weapons. These are our tools against weariness. I thought one of the best ones in there was looking for Jesus, and two, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself, a peculiar people, zealous to good works. That one to me was, wow, look at that. Am I looking for him? Am I doing that on a daily basis, or am I feeling this is it, it's all over? You know, when I say this world, the way we knew it, the way we rode our bikes around, some of us, be in when the streetlights, if you grew up in a place that had streetlights, be in when the, those days are gone. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be terrible. It means that God still has a plan for what's going on. Good works. We see good works in there. Looking for Jesus. Question, am I? A peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the one that stops most Christians because they think it's door-to-door witnessing, but it's not. It's just doing what God tells us to do. In John 6, the people yelled out, what must we do to work the works of God? Remember that one? What must we do to work the works? We all want to please him, right? We all want to make sure that what we're doing is in that Christian realm, depending on what church we go to, that says what we have to do. I just want to do what God's got ordained for my life. I don't want to copy somebody. I don't want to do something else. But what must I do to break this weariness, to overcome the horses that are on their way, to just be pleasing to my God who gave his life for me? And his answer wasn't go knock on doors and give out Bibles. It wasn't go to Outer Mongolia and stay there for 30 years and eat grubs. The answer that came back was believe on the one whom he sent. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. But the word believe just begins to expand and expand and expand. How deep is that for you? I don't know. But the works that he wants us to perform, to apply, are the works that will overcome the horsemen. They're works that will overcome the weariness that is either in your life right now or it's going to be in your life before the week's out. It'll overcome it because he's the one that said it. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you. I don't know how this is going to pan out, but I believe you. And then just start calling on the name of Jesus, as foolish as that might be. As Craig and I, we've told you before, when I first met that guy on the chairlift, snowboarding, he said, is it really, the word says, if anyone calls on the name of Jesus, they'll be saved. So we just started yelling, Jesus, Jesus, from the chairlift. Sometimes things seem so foolish. But God knows our heart. Weariness, being overcome, call on the name of Jesus. So when you read this week, I'd ask you to ask yourself, how am I doing? How am I doing as a young man? As a young woman? How am I doing as an older man or an older woman? How are we doing as a church to stand on the grace of our Savior? Because that's what's going to give us the power to overcome. Chapter 3, verse 7 of Titus was where I wanted to focus, and I thank the worship team again because you were talking about grace, not knowing where I was going today. What God tried to remind me, because I've done and said and thought some things that you probably wouldn't want me standing here as your pastor over the last 3 weeks, You'd wonder, boy, you're supposed to be a man of God. I am a man of God. But not because of Doug Gibney, because of him. And the things that I say and I do in my flesh, I hate them. Those things that I want to do, for some reason, there's a force that fights against me that they don't always work the way I'd like them to or have them planned out. And what God did was showed me why I wasn't going to Philemon. But he said, Doug, you've forgotten verse 7 of chapter 3 of all the preaching you've done. It says that being justified by his grace, not by my good works, not by how God couldn't do, and you put your name because I know it's not, God couldn't do without you this week, me this week, some other noted scholar. No, it says being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Nothing to do with me is what that says, and I wanted to focus on that for you if you're in that same spot. Justified, saved, not by my own works, but by his great love is how he saved us, will continue to hold us and keep us through these wearinesses, through these horses that are coming in your life to overrun you. It's by his grace and his justification. It's a courtroom term when you look at that, justified. Sometimes justified is negative, isn't it? Some people are justified to go to jail for things that they've done. Other people are justified when the judge sees that the things didn't go the way that they appeared and he releases that person. And that person then is clear and justified. That's you and I. We've been justified by our Lord. He's given us that freedom. When he looks at, and this is very hard for me to understand, when Christ looks at me, the Word of God tells us he sees his Son. Because I don't know if it works that way, but God turns around and he sees Shannon. What do you think, son? There it is. She's mine. How about Bruce? Jesus, he's mine too. Pat, mine. Tommy, Taffy, Alice. Let's go down the run. We're justified if we're in Christ, not by anything we do, not by the way we don't hold up under trials. We're justified by our Lord and Savior. And I ask, as I had to ask myself, because some of the things we say, how could I do that as a Christian? How could I say that as a Christian? How could I feel that as a Christian? Boy, I must be, and that's Satan trying to wear you down. Weariness doesn't happen overnight. Wearing down takes time sometimes, like tires. You ever buy those real nice $800 tires, and then when you remember to look at them, it's like, what happened? You know, they wear down slowly. Sometimes it's not even observable, but when it does happen near the end, boom. And God is saying, no, 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 no. If you're in me, I see my Son in you. You're complete. I got a little work to do with you, Tom, still, but I made a promise that I'm going to complete that good work that I started in you, Nina, and I'll finish it on that day that I say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. So in that little verse of 7, we're being justified. Do I know this? Do you know it? Do you think every day when you're overwhelmed, when you're weary, when you're ready to give up, when you see the horsemen coming after you, do I realize, but wait, I'm justified in God's sight. He loves me. Grace is how he loves us in that same little verse there. Justified by his grace, not by my works, not by how cool I am, not by all these things that I plan on doing, but by his grace. And I thought, what is grace besides the unmerited mercies of God, right? We say grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. We have all these little things. Grace, you know what grace is? Grace is that God, there's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. And there's nothing that you can do to make him love you any less. That's God's grace. And he pours it out on us through his love, through his mercy. And that was something that I had to wake up and just shake myself. Yeah, I can name the heartaches that in some of the body here, because we sit and we talk. I'm weary, I'm done, I'm tired. I don't know if I can take another one. Count all the things in a sense. Don't forget where you've been. Don't feel that it's not right to feel this. And this isn't me. We've lost our daughter. We lost my brother. We lost Pat's sister. I had to put my brother's dog to sleep. I just lost Polly, who basically, you know, no, literally saved my life from that moose when it was stomping me. I lost my dog. I had a wedding for my last granddaughter. We stuffed you, you know, and that, if you don't think a wedding will wear you out, good gravy, you know. But praise God for Alice and Nate and Tommy, the people that came to our aid and helped us out. God's grace. God's grace in all those situations will pull us through everything. His grace, if we just, as the word says, come boldly into the throne room of grace. The throne of grace. It's what he sits on. He's waiting to pour it out that we might receive that mercy and help in our time of need. But yet we don't go there. Stop focusing is what I felt him saying. Stop focusing on this temporal, Doug. And I don't know if you can put that into your circumstance this week. Teddy, how do you stop focusing on a cancer that grows in your system? It's like telling a drug addict, just stop. See, that's what we do as Christians. You don't just stop. You don't not focus on something that shouldn't be inside of you, just going away. That's the grace of God that will break everything that's in your life and mine if we believe it. If we stand firm on it, if we put that on as the armor of God, in a sense, when these horsemen start coming. I love the old cowboy westerns. Pat and I, in Cowboys and Indians, it says, here's the top 100 westerns to watch this year. So we've been circling one at a time. Don't think I got a lot of time. It's just one 1938 John Wayne movie, you know. It's so hokey, it was almost a comedy. Just watch God. See what he's got for us. It's got to be more, though, Doug. It's got to be more. Turn to Galatians, if you would, too. It's not how much I know, PhD, doctorates and all that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. That's very helpful in this world. How much of God's word do I know? How much of God's word am I willing to accept as the truth that we really accept constantly? Every day we're being bombarded with things, and because the right person on the right TV network said it, we take it as truth. Fact-checking is so important. Critical thinking, as I've said before, is so important in the days that we live in. But do we know this word? That's going to be our weapon in the weariness and the overcoming powers that are right at your door and mine. Knowing, verse 16, this is how we fight it, by knowing. What does God say about me? He loves me. So knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you're not in Jesus Christ, I beg you today, seriously consider looking into Christ. He loves you. He gave his life for you. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, but just that love didn't save us. See, it was God's grace that saved us. God loved the whole world, didn't he? But the whole world isn't saved. See, it boils down to me. It boils down to you. I'm the one now that the horses, I can hear the hoofbeats and they're approaching. So how am I going to stand in that day? By knowing that it's not what I do, how many verses I have, how many this or that's I can do. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while you seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. No, I mess up. I get weary. I let the horses start coming and chase me. But what do? It seems like God gets blamed right away, doesn't he? God, why are you letting this happen? It's a natural happenstance in this fallen life that we live. And he's saying, rise above that. Look a little further. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Christ. So here's the power of knowing. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That one stopped me this week, and I thought I did. I was saying, Lord, I've had enough. Well, Seth, I hope you're listening. Turn it over to Seth. He's ready. Let him do it. I'll visit every 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, just thoughts that I shudder to think. But I know you're having them in your heart and your mind too. And God is saying, do you really feel that? Do you really want that? I don't want to. I hope like Della's pastor, when he said, I'm going to die here in this pulpit, and the poor man had a heart attack when he was preaching on a Sunday, fell over and went. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Be difficult. It'd be something. But just that, I am crucified with Christ. He's living in me. So just let us think of ourselves this week. Do I frustrate him? And he knows the answer to it. Just correct it. Let me try, Lord. Let's pick me up, dust me off. Let's walk a little bit more. You can't give up anyhow. I don't know if anybody's really tried to just walk away from the Lord. It just doesn't work. Remember, Paul said, I'm constrained. There's always something nagging that you know. That stuff that we've all lived for and by, it's a lie. But when Paul said, I can't walk away, I'm constrained by the Holy Spirit. He's got a hold of me. I know he's got a hold of your hearts. Last but not least, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll end with that. Think solidly this week on God's justification. Think about his grace that he has shed upon us abundantly, and he's not running out of supply. It's not diminishing. He's waiting for an opportunity to show you and I the depth, the height, the breadth, the power of his grace. He's waiting for your opportunity that will be used by the enemy to crush you, to make you want to give up and walk. He's just waiting. Turn to me and let me show you something. So how does Doug do it? Hebrews 2 verse 1, therefore, everything I've said so far, we, and I love that we in there. That's us corporately. And we need to encourage one another as these days start coming on us. Why do we allow each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Why do we allow each other? You made that bed, you go lay it. Oh, that one deserved that one. Oh, that one said this right here. I'm never talking. We. That's all of us. And when you go home to your own church or wherever it might be, you're still the we of that body of Christ. And unless we bind together, unless we stand together against that onslaught that's coming, I don't feel we have much of a chance. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Remember how we started in James? Just don't hear these things. We got to do them. But it says, give the more earnest heed, diligence to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if a word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I don't think there's an answer to that. But if we take an earnest heed to the things that we've heard, look around at some of our other brothers and sisters and realize that they're hurt, they're in pain, they're shot, they're weary. See, those are good works. Not knocking on the door of somebody you don't know who's behind there and want to hand them a Bible or come to my church, whatever the name might be. Can you imagine if we realized that somebody needed firewood, Somebody needs some groceries. Somebody needs just a little help around the house. Somebody needs a phone call to say, I'm thinking of you, I love you. Those are the good works that God wants us to do that will overcome the weariness. I don't know about you, but do you ever get so involved with God using you that when you're done and it might be a whole day that you did something, you don't feel weary. You feel used of God. You feel excited. You feel uplifted. It's when I just sit here at the potlucks and fellowships that I feel a little weary, you know? Earnest heed to the things that we've heard, and then we apply them. But most of all, trust what God has said. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Is anything too hard for him in your life or mine? So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that as we do hear it, Lord, and we do let things drift, we do let them kind of go off in a nice, peaceful little pleasure at times, and we don't really understand the seeds that are being sown by the enemy in our life. Help us, Lord, just to stand this week, and after we've done all, to continue to stand, that through your grace, Father, we will stand that day completely justified before you with those that have gone before us, our loved ones, the ones that we desire, Lord, that we're still here today, that you've got a great plan for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let's have a song.